Spirit.
Amen.
So today we celebrate Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the holy apostles and upon the church. And it's quite amazing because throughout the Old Testament we hear many foreshadowings of the coming of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Deuteronomy, it says, "The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live." This is very interesting, to circumcise the heart. And what this means actually is to cleanse the heart and separate it, cut it away from the passions that darken our minds and that confuse us. And so it is. We have to speak already in Deuteronomy. And then it says in Ezekiel, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." And again, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my commandments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." So this concept of even of baptism, already sprinkling water upon us to cleanse us and to give us a new heart. And this is an amazing thing. Obviously, we're not talking about the physical heart, but we're talking about the spiritual presence of God in our heart. And yes, the physical heart is sanctified and purified. One of the things that we do not understand very well is how our minds have become separated from our hearts. And if we look at and understand somewhat the fall, we realize that when Adam and Eve fell into sin, that the mind, the nous, as they call it, the mind which dwelt naturally in the heart, was overwhelmed by darkness and by the evil of their fall, and that mind, the nous, withdrew into natural reason. And so it is that the heart became captive and captive to darkness. And to restore the natural order, the heart has to be cleansed. In a sense, we have to receive a new heart. And the mind can, so that the mind can once again dwell in the heart. And from the heart, radiate out through our families and through our communities, and God willing, throughout the whole world, the light of Christ. And again in Jeremiah it says, "I will gather them out of the nations, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way. I will make an everlasting covenant with them." And this is a very beautiful thing, because if we are restored to holiness in such a way that by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the cleansing of the Holy Spirit through baptism and living life in Christ, that our mind can once again enter the heart, then we will see that through our hearts, our families and our communities will be sanctified. And we will become one heart. This is very interesting, that the multitude who enter into this path of sanctification become one heart. That is, we become one people in Christ our Lord. Not in any way destroying our individuality or our personalities or our multitude of gifts, but truly in the spiritual realm that we become one heart. And it says also in the beginning of the Gospel of St. John, St. John the Baptist says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He who sent me to baptize with water. The same said to me, upon whom ye shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. This is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And so, you can see this progression. I've only mentioned a few passages from the Old Testament, but here we have John the Baptist, who is from the Old. It's almost as though he has one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New. And in a sense, he is the spiritual bridge between the Old and the New. And he comes forth and he baptizes our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he sees the power of the Holy Spirit come upon him and the voice of the Father proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And what's fascinating about this is the church's understanding is Christ did not need to be baptized. But through submitting to this event, he sanctified baptism so that those of us who are baptized into the Holy Church can participate in his eternal life and the mystery of his presence. So he sanctified baptism so that we can be sanctified in the waters. And it's saying in the Gospel of St. John, it says, "Most assuredly I pray to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And what a beautiful and hopeful proclamation this is, that we can be born again, that we can be renewed in the power of the Lord, that our lives can be transformed, that we can be raised, as it were, out of darkness into light, that we can be raised out of corruption into incorruption, that we can be raised out of death into life eternal. And this, of course, is the promise. And today, as we celebrate Pentecost, we celebrate this amazing event of the descent of the Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel today, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, 'Truly, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Will Christ come out of Galilee?' So there was a division. And even as our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, perfect God and perfect man, stood before them and proclaimed these profound words, and for those who had the eyes to see, he proclaimed them not just in words, but in power. He proclaimed them with light, not just in no arguments, no reasoning about it, just the proclamation of his word. And for those who could see, they believed, and they entered into his life and were transformed. And those who could not see turned to darkness." And what's interesting about it, when this encounter with Christ our God happens, and we decide to turn away from him, it's as though the depths of the consequences of turning away from our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ are manifold, and they are truly cataclysmic, as it were, event. Because here, facing the light of our Lord, and having the opportunity to behold His righteousness and His holiness and the Spirit of God, to turn away is to reject Him. And to reject Him is to enter on the path of darkness and sin. Amazingly, I think many of us have at different times turned away from our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And He is merciful. This is one of the great joys of our faith, is that He is merciful. And He will come to us again. He will find us. He will search us out and look for us and find us. Even as the father of the prodigal son awaited the return of his son, and he, when he was on his way, the father went out to him and he embraced him. And remember the prodigal son, here he was, he'd gone through all the stages, and now he was feeding swine. And for a Jew, that was not a good thing to do, to be feeding swine. And he came, it says, he came to himself, and he understood that the life he had in his father's house was in fact the true life, and he yearned to be even just a servant in the house of his father. And his father came to him and embraced him and brought him back. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, the power of the Holy Spirit falls upon us and is given to us through baptism, but is given to us through our prayers, it's given to us through our fasting. It's given to us, in a sense, in every decision that we make. When we make decisions in faithfulness to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, so He embraces us. And when we turn away from Him, I think as a good father, He gives us a little slack. And He lets us go a little further away, perhaps even further away, knowing that in waiting for us to come to ourselves, to come to ourselves. And this is a beautiful thing. What does it mean to come to ourselves? What is a man? What is a woman? Who are we? What is our true purpose? And our true purpose is to be sons and daughters and children of God. If a person wants to find what it means to be a man or a woman, you find it in Christ our Lord. This is where you find it. And it's amazing. One of the kind of mysteries of our Orthodox Church is, it's noted in many places, that how many men actually participate. In some cases, I read little notes from people, the more men there are women. And this is not because the woman's weakness, right? And women are taking care of the children and doing other things, I know. And which is faithfulness, of course. But somehow or other, I think it does speak to this whole notion of what does it mean to be a man? Or what does it mean to be fully woman? Or to be a child in God? And it is to know Christ. This is the beauty of it all. And in Acts for today we read, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues like as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And now when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And this, of course, is a great mystery, and it's been misunderstood by many. The apostles, when they spoke, if you listen to this carefully, all the different nations, all of whom had different tongues, heard them in their own tongue. And what this means is the Holy Spirit spoke to them in their own tongue. So the apostles spoke forth, and then, as it were, miraculously was translated into the tongues of the many. And this, of course, is a profound call to each and every person, whatever nation, wherever people are. So we are all called. And it's a fascinating thing, because do you remember the Tower of Babel and how the tongues were divided so that people couldn't communicate with one another, and it brought the fall of Babylon, the confusion. Here is the solution right here. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the capacity to unite all of us in one heart and in one mind, so that we collectively become the body of Christ. This is a great mystery indeed. It doesn't matter what our nation or our nationality, it doesn't matter where we come from, that we become one in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. So, through the Holy Spirit, our hearts and minds are sanctified. So then our mind and heart become one. And true healing happens in the depths of our being. May God help us on this day, and may He give us hope and restore us to the fullness of who we are as men and women and children of God, so that we can enjoy, literally enjoy, the peace of knowing Christ. It is amazing, as those who I've known in my own life, and I think it's to some degree in my own family, it's amazing as we draw near to Christ and the passions are subdued, and the light of Christ opens up the pathway so we can see more plainly, and so that we can enjoy, as it were, our families and our brothers and sisters in Christ our God. And when you contrast this to what the world offers, if you can conceive what Christ offers us, and then you look through that lens what the world offers us, it is truly a tragedy. And it's the idea that all of the devices to draw us into oblivion, to deaden the conscience, and all of the perverse programs, and all of the perverse events, and all of the infidelity, and the total worshiping of the passions, which it seems is growing exponentially. And what does it do? It destroys us. It alienates us from one another. It alienates us from God. And it separates us. And here we are, O little flock, drawn to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can know Him, and that He can know us in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.